Oh man, when Gavin DeGraw takes you away on Halloween of all days, I think it has a little bit, but you know, better taste to it. I don't know, but that's just me. I'm Sam Anthony. Welcome to Will, Sam, and Sam in the morning. As I said, I'm Sam Anthony. Alongside me is Samuel Elizabeth Ferentz.
Hello.
And William Robert. I'm already sweating Camilleri because it's hot in here.
It is very hot in here, and it's very cold outside.
He's a very sweaty man, folks.
Mm. Yeah. Fun fact about Will: it takes about a increase in temperature of about 10 degrees,
if that.
And you know, it's interesting because it makes it hard to pick up girls at a party. If I were you, Will.
Oh. It does.
Because you know, Will goes up to him and like. He's feeling good. He's looking good. He's feeling smooth, except for his sweaty forehead. Yeah. And then that's all they can look at.
Yeah, and it makes me want to die, too.
Oh,
so.
You go up to a Will at a party, and he's sweating. And you just see, he goes, hey, and he's dripping. It's the best thing.
You know what? Yeah, I'm glad that we're all so close here with Will that we can share these stories on the air.
Yeah.
But, yeah, welcome to Will, Sam, and Sam in the Morning, our morning sports talk show where we talk about really, whatever sports are on our mind, whatever our hearts are feeling. And, you know, Sam sometimes likes to talk about soccer, and we'll allow him sometimes. but if you would let me, I'd like to start with RMU women's soccer.
Oh, that's not the sport I thought you were going to go with.
This is a topic that it frustrates me. I've spent a lot of time this year calling all the women's soccer games, so I'd like to say I have some experience in what they can do, what they're capable of. So let's be clear. Conference play starts for Robert Morris women's soccer, and it was a very slow start. I mean, the scoring was not there. It was proven, you know, going into a team that's in the NEC, typically you can struggle in non-conference and then go out and do really well in conference play. Look at men's soccer. They won one game in non-conference, and now they've already clinched a spot to the NEC tournament, which is very exciting.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they clinched last night.
Nice.
And so with that, you know, the expectations have to be higher. And they go in, first game of conference, blow a lead to Bryant, a game they should have won, and then continue to lose their first three before winning one. And they end up winning four of their last five, ultimately finishing 4-4. But here's the problem. It was already too late.
Yeah.
And you look at some of these last two wins were a 4-0 win over Mount St. Mary's and a 3-0 win over Wagner. And then it was a 2-1 overtime, double overtime game winner from Jane Schleicher. And I mean, it was exciting soccer to watch. It looked good. They played with a purpose, but it was too late. And to me, the first thing that raises questions with is head coach John Kowalski. And I'm going to ask this question because I feel like nobody here has been asking this question. Is why is John Kowalski still employed? He's been here for 17 years since he came back. He was originally the men's head coach. So back when they won all those championships, that was him. But since he's come back to Robert Morris Women's Soccer, in 17 years, he's made it to one NEC playoff. And that was 2 years ago. Yes.
Like wow. Playoff game? Or?
Yes. They've only been in the NEC tournament. They've only finished in the top four one time. And to me, that is grounds for firing. But that was grounds for firing, you know, 10 years ago. When you go your first, 14 seasons without making the NEC playoffs and you haven't been fired, to me, that's unacceptable. I don't care what sport it is. I don't care how close you were to making it every year. There can't be a possible excuse for that kind of inconsistent. I mean, it's consistent, but it's consistently bad.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just my question is, why have they not fired him?
I don't know. And I kind of feel, I get that feel not only with women's soccer, but kind of across RMU sports. Like, I feel like you have these coaches that have had success years ago, but clearly haven't shown any type of improvement or, you know, have improved a little bit enough to keep their job, but not enough to actually go and do something positive for the school. And yeah. It's not just soccer. It's not just fall sports. I'm sure there are sports I'm not thinking of, but I think they're spread across. And ultimately it comes down to not only Dr. Coleman, but also President Howard in deciding, what they want our sports program to be. And I think DeLomo took a very open and public stance to use our athletic program to build our school. And I don't know if that's still the mantra. Just because, like, nothing's changed.
Now, when you think of Robert Morris sports, what do you think of?
What, like, in terms of what sport?
Yeah, like, what are we popular for?
I'm thinking there are two sports I'm thinking of, and it's basketball and it's hockey. Mm-hmm. Those are the two main, I mean, I'm sorry. I know you guys work for the football team, but football's not the first thing I think of because, and that's a different animal itself because that team hasn't had success in a very long time, and that 2010 when they were phenomenal and they really could have beaten North Dakota State, I feel like that year was kind of an outlier. So in terms of a coach like Banaszak, I think it's tough because unless you're really in, you know, watching that program, it's hard to make the determination because Robert Morris just has not been a top football location. And there are definitely challenges that come with that. And I would say in terms of, like you said, the most popular sports with men's basketball and hockey, those coaches have been consistent. I would see no reason. And, you know, a lot of people can bring up Andy Toole the past couple years. I wouldn't have given him his extension. But at the same time, there's been a lot of that's gone on. And Robert Morris has been kind of at the forefront of what's a changing culture in NCAA basketball. And that's the transfer culture, which will actually be becoming stronger as the NCAA is trying to get rid of the rule that forces you to sit out a year when you transfer, which just makes it that much easier.
Yeah.
And to me, I think that Robert Morris is going to, you know, they're going to have to start coaching for lack of a comparison, like a Kentucky, like a one and done school, like the guys you're playing with might not be there next year. Because, you know, rather than, you know, being a big school and having players that go to the NBA, you're going to be a small school that goes to a big school. It's going to be those layers now. So I defend Andy Toole. I think Andy Toole is taking the rap for a lot of bad stuff that's going on overall in college basketball.
When did Andy Toole start coaching here?
Oh, man.
Because the first like postseason success he had was 2010. So it's been at least 7 years. Or this is at least year seven.
Yeah, I believe that's actually exactly when he started coaching here.
Okay, so you have 5 years. You have 2010 through 2014 was when they played Duke. So you have 5 years that you have tremendous success. And then, you know, those keystone guys that you had all leave and you kind of have to start rebuilding. So he's really only had two somewhat negative seasons. And even last year, they upset the number two seed in the NEC tournament and, you know, had, an NEC version of a run.
And it was an improvement from last year because rather than being an eighth seed, they were tied for fifth in the NEC tournament.
And so that I don't think is the same as winning five championships back before any of us were born and then not doing anything in our lifetimes.
Yeah.
Those are two very different things. Like it's two different situations, but still there are other sports like women's soccer that are in that situation. I agree with you. I don't think either basketball coach or either hockey coach is in that situation because they've all had success recently.
So if I may, this is the reason I believe that they have not gotten rid of Coach Kowalski. I'm going to read his accolades.
Mm-hmm.
He served as the interim head coach for the U.S. men's national team in 1991, and he was 1-0-1, so he coached two games and he never lost. But ultimately did not get that
head
coaching
gig.
Yeah. That's like a little fun little tidbit there. And then he also coached the Tampa Bay Mutiny when they were in the MLS, and he was also the first head coach of the Pittsburgh Riverhounds. Like, this guy has a pedigree. He won two NEC championships for men's soccer in 93 and 94, and he was two-time NEC Coach of the Year for men's soccer in 92 and 95, and Coach of the Year for women's soccer in 2015, back when they made the tournament. But besides that, so to me, there's this whole gap between 1996 and 2015 where he really didn't do anything. And a lot of that has been with Robert Morris women's soccer. And to me, that's just, I think he shouldn't be here. I think he should be gone. He hasn't really proven that he's a coach you can invest a future in. And it's kind of proven, and this was a year they were Robert Morris women's soccer should have been very good, and they were very good down the stretch. And it just seemed like for most of the year, there were two players that played well, and that was Christina Kelly and it was Jane Schleicher, and that was it. And then at the end of the year, you see Aaron Ritzer finally getting involved. You see Ani Varjanen get involved. You see Malia Karishi get involved. And the defense is looking amazing. And Sydney Bruckner is coming into her own. And, like, all the pieces came together, but just not quick enough. And you can't blame, like, the players couldn't have found it, because they were 12 games into the season by the time they started to figure it out. And that's not okay.
No, it's way that's like mid non-conference play kind of.
Well, that's the point of conference play. In terms of an NAC team, because you're not coming in with the same talent, you have all of non-conference play to kind of figure it out. And they did not. And they have proven that this has been a consistent issue. It's been an issue the last 2 years. And to me, I'm shocked that they haven't reevaluated, because, again, there were a lot of really good seniors on this team. Robert Morris women's soccer will struggle next year because they are losing such talent. Now, granted, they're going to bring back both Jane Schleicher and Christina Kelly, which is huge. But in terms of, like, the defensive end, when you're losing players like Madison Duncan and Kayla Kelly, and even, I mean, losing players like Malia Karishi and Aaron Ritzer, those are big losses. And all of a sudden, a team that, you know, could be consistent and have a spread out attack is, again, going to have to focus on Kelly and Schleicher. When it was just Kelly and Schleicher, they weren't winning. Mm-hmm. And to me, that stems from the head coach really being unable to make something happen.
Yeah. And there's a lot you can go into. But I don't know. Like you said, there's that. The biggest thing that stands out is that gap. And again, I'm sure there are other coaches that you can look at who had a lot of success in the 90s, but that was 20 years ago. And, like yes, you did these things, and great, you did the, like, congratulations. Like, there are obviously no small feat. Like, there are things that I couldn't do. But if you're not succeeding, and it's the way all of sports are now, if you're not succeeding now,
You're gone.
Like unless you can convince your fan base and your employers that you have a plan that will work, and it's only really worked with the Philadelphia 76ers and the Cleveland Indians.
Mm-hmm.
And you could argue the Houston Astros now, too. But unless you have that support, which as a Robert Morris team, I don't think you do, you're not going to be able to have an bad, like, consistently bad seasons and expect to still be appreciated and highly attended at this school.
Yeah, I don't think, and I hate to say it, but I don't think, unless some major changes are made, I don't think you'll ever have that support.
No.
So, I mean, yeah.
Oh, real quick, too. There was another fact. I don't know why they left this out in his accolades. He coached the... Let's see. I'm reading this here. Hold on. One second. Where'd it go?
Uh-oh.
Oh, no. Where'd it go? Okay, so he coached for 10 years. He was the head coach of the U.S. men's national futsal team.
That's indoor soccer, right?
Essentially, yeah. He brought home the silver medal at the 1992 FIFA World Championships.
Wow.
And that is the best finish by a United States men's team in a FIFA-sanctioned event. Why didn't you put that in his...
Yeah, I feel like that's a big thing you kind of toss in there.
These are all the reasons that everyone goes, this is why you keep John Kowalski, because he's a world championship-winning coach.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, he has national accolades. He has international accolades. But I just... You know what, Sam? Like, as cool as that is, because I know, you kind of, you know, I feel like everyone kind of falls back because it's also women's soccer, so you know there's not a lot of attention on it. So a coach has a little bit more room. But 17 years with one championship, I don't care if you won 5 World Cups. You've clearly proven to me, based on the data that has been provided through 17 years, that you are unable to win in women. Maybe it's just he's unable to win in women's soccer. It's a different
honestly,
game.
Maybe.
I understand that. But in that case, then get him out. Move him somewhere else. And I'm not saying get rid of Denison because I like Bill Denison. I think he's doing a great job. They did a great job this year because they lost Nico Brett last year, and you knew it was not going to be a good team. Well, yeah, but last season was the first year without Nico Brett.
Yeah, and you also lost I'm completely blanking on the goaltender's name.
Alfieri.
Alfieri. Yeah, thank you.
Very good. And now Winter Fondi has just come into his own, and he's played phenomenal soccer. So get excited because
I also think
men's soccer is going to be in the playoff. Unfortunately, we're not going to be able to host. But
do you know what seed we are?
We're probably going to be the 3, I believe.
Three?
We can potentially be the 2. But all the games are hosted by the number one seed.
Yeah. Where was I? I'm sorry. I completely forgot.
That's
where
all
I
right.
Was
going.
So I interrupted you and then
to be clear, let's go around. Is there anyone in this room who thinks that John Kowalski should stay head coach of RMU women's soccer?
I don't think so. And, like, you kind of feel bad because he has had so much success.
But
like, at some point you have to look at it and say, I know you've done all this before, but you're clearly not the right fit for our team.
And here's the thing, though, and this is going to sound horrible. I don't feel bad. I don't. And that's because of the fact that I really just think that, I mean, he's had the time. I don't feel bad for him because you can't look back and say, oh, like, we didn't give him a chance, you know, like a coach you fired too soon.
Yeah, and even if it's like 5 or 6 years and you're like, okay, like you just didn't have, you know, that one star kind of leader on your team. Now you're trying to bring that guy in or whatever. But, yeah, like he was hired when we were 3 and 4 years old.
Yeah.
And has had minimal success. And again, maybe it is women's soccer. Maybe it's just with RMU. I don't think have any idea what could be going on or what he fits in best, but I don't think it's here.
Yeah. Sam, what are your final thoughts here on Coach John Kowalski?
I hate to say it. I mean, he's a nice guy. I've talked to him a couple times during training camp, but sorry, man.
So, we got about 20 minutes of debate here on Robert Morris women's soccer. I mean, you don't get that anywhere else, ladies and gentlemen.
No.
Here, Will, Sam, and Sam in the morning. We dig deep into Robert Morris athletics. But I figure this is a really good time to send to a quick break.
All right.
We're going to, you know, listen to some Gavin DeGraw take us away. And when we come back, guys, basketball season right around the corner. Robert Morris has won 2 exhibition games, and they've looked good in both of them. You got to be excited. So when we come back, I say we talk about that. So you aren't going to want to miss all the action on Will, Sam, and Sam in the morning.
Difference of love.
I just want to thank you, Gavin DeGraw. And welcome back to Will, Sam, and Sam in the Morning, where the Gavin DeGraw will always play during commercials, and the sports talk will always continue during the show. Welcome back, and we are going to talk about some women's hockey to start off here.
Wait, you said we were talking about men's basketball.
I was teasing. Oh, we'll get to that. I was teasing, and we'll get to it later. Right. We will talk about it. Do not worry, beautiful fans of Will, Sam, and Sam in the Morning. We will talk about the men's basketball team, but first... Will was sharing some really fun facts about the women's hockey team during the break, and I'd like you to share them with the crew.
And I don't know the exact numbers. However, in the CHA, the Robert Morris Colonials have the top goal scorer, the top 2 points leaders, the top 2 assists leaders, the number one goalie in goals against average, and the number one goalie in save percentage.
Wow. And here's the thing. You would think it would have been Lauren Bailey that was leading in save percentage. Elijah Milne-Price.
So, and goals against.
Mm-hmm.
That's, wow.
Isn't that, and again, that's what's really great about this team is for some reason they always find these players who can step up. And
for the goaltender that used to be considered the number, that was up until this year considered the number three.
Is now definitely, without a doubt, number one.
Yeah. If it's not broke, don't fix it.
And, you know, here's the thing. You can still do a back and forth where it's Bailey and Price back and forth. And that's a pretty good setup. I'm all about that. I'm all for it. I mean, Bailey's had a slow start to the season, but been consistently kind of improving as she's gone along. So, and Bailey's proven she can be successful before. So, you know, again, try and make that work, because what matters for Robert Morris is conference season, conference play. Because they're never going to get in based on their rank. They're going to get in by winning the conference. So, let's talk about this weekend. All right? It was a 3-3 tie to Penn State to start, and then a 2-2 tie against Penn State to finish. You know, not necessarily preferable if you're Robert Morris. You want to come out with wins.
Exactly.
But, again, you know, they avoid the loss. They still get a point.
Hold on. Real quick. We have breaking news out of the NFL.
What's the breaking news?
The Philadelphia Eagles have traded a 4th-round pick for running back Jay Ajayi.
Whoa, 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 what?
That's a bold move.
That is a bold move.
A 4th-round pick.
Holy
shit. So what you're telling me is I should drop LeGarrette Blount on my fantasy team.
Oh, my gosh.
You might want to. But
I'm not trading Jay Ajayi anymore. Jeez Louise. I'm running my fantasy.
Oh, man, someone offered me Jay Ajayi last night, and I turned it down. Mm-hmm.
Oh, Devin's about to be really
for
happy.
For a fourth, that's who initially told me. But yeah, Adam Schefter is reporting on Twitter.
Wow.
This has been a crazy, is this the trade deadline right now for the NFL week 8?
I think so.
Well, did you hear Garoppolo to
Jimmy
the 49ers?
G's gone.
Yeah.
So now all I'm hoping for as a person who really avidly dislikes the New England Patriots is Tom Brady getting hurt. In the sake that,
and having
they have no, Julian nothing. Edelman will be their quarterback right now.
They have
isn't Julian
nothing.
Edelman out?
Huh? Yeah. Isn't, oh, so you're right. They have no backup quarterback.
They have nothing.
They literally. Wow. Wow.
Whoa, yeah. My mind is blown, folks.
Yeah, I want
you to know this right here on the air. What?
Yeah, Sam Ferentz's brain is just
all over.
He
fell out of his chair.
Yeah, he's actually laying on the ground right now. We extended the mic down.
Yes.
So
I mean,
that
Jay Ajayi, he was just disappointing this year so far.
Yeah, it's because he's with the Dolphins, and he has Jay Cutler as his quarterback.
Oh, my gosh.
Remember when they were like, Jay Cutler's the answer. Jay Cutler's the answer. Yeah, that didn't work so well. So Philadelphia Eagles, 7-1, making a push. They're proving that they won a Super Bowl. And, Will, I'm going to interview you live here. Philadelphia Eagles fans, how excited are you?
I have tears in my eyes currently.
He's just streaming down right now, ladies and gentlemen.
On the record, who is the one that said the Eagles need a running back?
On the record, who was the one that said the Eagles were going to go to the Super Bowl?
I mean,
we all said that. But, yeah. I mean, who said they needed a running back to complete their pieces? This guy.
I still think they need to and get a left tackle. I love Big V, but you know he's not Jason Peters.
Oh,
what are your thoughts on Fletcher Cox potentially getting suspended?
He's not getting suspended. He's just getting fined.
Okay,
what it looks like.
Yeah, I don't think they found
it. It wasn't a crazy hit. It was just like bad positioning. So I just wanted to drop that in. Sorry to interrupt the women's hockey talk because I would actually like to get back to that.
All right, so on the topic of women's hockey, Sam's really excited. Do you need a minute to breathe?
I do have something interesting, and it's back to the USCHO polling.
All right, let's hear it.
And it does frustrate me a little bit, and I do get, you know, CHA isn't the strongest
at all
hockey
for any means,
conference
at all,
which tends to be our issue. However, if you remember last year, we tied and ultimately lost in a shootout. I think it was 3-2 against then number 3 Clarkson. And I know years passed and things change and Clarkson won the national championship or whatever. Cornell, who is currently, as of this week, ranked number 8 after winning and losing a game this weekend, they moved up from number 9. The first game they played was against number 7 St. Lawrence, and they won 3-1. So good for them.
Good win.
That I think justifies moving up, if not moving up a spot, getting more points in the poll.
Yeah.
However, they did go the next night and lose 6-0 against Clarkson. So how that warrants moving up to number 8, I don't know.
And I agree with that, because 6-0,
six,
you know, it doesn't matter who you lose to. That's a bad loss.
I mean, it's except unless you're playing Wisconsin, which they do have in 2 weekends. They have a full weekend against Wisconsin,
which they will lose both games because Wisconsin is unbelievable.
At Cornell, though,
that could be interesting,
which I think is a little crazy considering it's non-conference.
Can
but,
I,
you know,
can I hype up the game in a couple weeks for Robert Morris?
Oh yeah, definitely.
RMU at, or I'm sorry, takes on Ohio State here at the Colonials Arena. The weekend right before we get back for Thanksgiving, and that's going to be a top 10 matchup. It's going to be number 10 or number 9 depending on where Robert Morris is, but I promise you that's probably where they're going to stay, versus potentially number 4 Ohio State University. And that will be probably, besides against Wisconsin, the biggest matchup. It will be the biggest matchup in the history of the Colonials Arena for women's hockey.
Well, you look back last week, we were ranked number 10 with 20 points at 5-1-0. Cornell, having not played a game, had 22 points and was at number 9. This week, we are still number 10. We lost 5 points because we tied 2 games. Cornell wins one game against a good St. Lawrence team. They're still ranked number 7, but then gets absolutely obliterated by Clarkson, who I guess lost a game the night before and have now dropped to number 3. But somehow they gain 13 points. I don't know how losing 6-0 and tying twice change that much. And maybe I just don't know how the pollers do it or how the people running the rankings do it, whatever. But that doesn't make any sense in my mind. You know, because it wasn't like we were, I mean, Penn State isn't a good team, but they're not a bad team.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like this was Lindenwood or something like that. Like, if it was Lindenwood, then yeah, I could imagine us, you know, even, I mean, I don't
Again,
think
though,
we'd have a vote if we got swept by Lindenwood.
It's just, it's the whole stigma with College Hockey America, which is fair, because really the only team that's contributing right now is Robert Morris. There's never been more than one team that's played strong, and that makes it difficult. If Penn State went and they won some good non-conference games, which I believe that, no, they did not. They played Wisconsin. They lost both games.
Yeah, the rest, if you want to, can I?
Yeah,
here's the rest of the CHA standings. We are in first. We're 5-1-2. In second place is RIT. They are 3-4-1. Then it's Penn State, who are 2-5-3. Lindenwood, who's 2-5-1. And tied for last are Mercyhurst and Syracuse, both at 1-6-1.
Exactly. And when your conference is that poor, any loss inside there, unless you're losing to a Robert Morris, that's not going to hurt you a lot because they're ranked and they're proven and people believe that they're the real deal. I mean, they have players like Brittany Howard and J.C. Gebhardt, which are some of the best in the NCAA. you're not going to really get a lot of cred. I mean, Robert Morris, and women's hockey is tough. Hockey is tough because even as the best team, you're going to have games where you don't show up and you're going to lose to some teams because that's just the way hockey is. I mean, the Pittsburgh Penguins lost 7-1 to the Winnipeg Jets the other night. Mm-hmm. And that does not mean the Pittsburgh Penguins are a bad team by any means.
I think it does.
But in terms of, I'm sorry, back-to-back Stanley Cup champs. Will. So, yeah, back to the point at hand, Will, which is the fact that you're going to drop some bad games with women's hockey. Robert Morris women's hockey, 5 times out of 6, need to really dominate those rank or those CHA teams. They need to go when conference play really gets into full swing. They need to, I mean, really dominate those teams. And I'm talking about the teams that are going to probably finish up top, which are teams like a Mercyhurst, which everyone thinks is going to contend and go in there and really prove that they're
not right now, but
just the cream of the crop, you know, above the rest in college hockey. And they're proving right now with how well they're doing a non-conference play that they're definitely, you know, a rank above the rest here in the CHA. But, you know, again, Robert Morris will never really move conference in terms of because of women's hockey, I don't believe. Mm-hmm. You're not going to start seeing that until men's hockey moves, yeah. I believe.
Yeah, and that will just catalyze, I feel like, not only hockey, but the rest of...
Yeah.
And it goes back to the most popular sports at our school. You have basketball and hockey. Those are going to be, if either one of those, honestly, four teams moves, I think it catalyzes not only the other three, but every other sport at our school.
And I think that the future is good for Robert Morris Athletics. I don't think by any means you can sit here and go, we're in a flight pattern that isn't going up.
Mm-mm.
I think that it takes time. I think that everyone kind of sees that, you know, upwards is the way we want to go and they want to get there immediately. But it's not that one. That's not how college athletics works. It's a process and it's, you know, making those things.
It sucks for us because I don't think we'll be able to see the end result. However, we will be alumni of this school forever. So we will be able to come back and hopefully see that finished product and be like, hey, I was there when it started.
And yeah, and that's the thing is like think about a Boise State where Boise State, you know, is now in this, you know, prime of its or it wasn't its prime of, you know, football. But now because of that, you know, they're in a better conference and they're, you know, getting to compete every year. That's the direction of a Robert Morris or like a school like Gonzaga, where Gonzaga, rather than moving conference, has consistently dominated their conference, which I don't think it's the path for Robert Morris.
No,
a lot of people compared.
Because the NEC doesn't have the same weight as what the Gonzaga's in the Pac-12.
The Big West.
Big West.
Yeah.
Which that doesn't have the same weight as the Northeast Conference.
Yeah, the Northeast Conference, in terms of ranking, is the second worst conference in college basketball, only ahead of the MEAC. And
the who?
The MEAC. Which is a predominantly black conference, so they have limitations in terms of they're only going to let in predominantly black schools, which is fine. But in terms of trying to, you know, bring talent into a conference, it's tough because it limits who you can bring in. So that's the only reason the NEC is ahead of any school or any conference is because of that. So when it comes to drawing recruits, I mean, you can say it's Division One. You can't take that away, but you're getting the very worst of Division One athletes because you may be a really great team, but the thing is that you can be a really great team in that conference and never get above a 15.
Yeah.
And
I mean, obviously, I mean, you saw it with women's basketball last year, who I think deserved a 15 seed based off of their play, getting, you know, beaten down by the NCAA because they play in the Northeast Conference.
So, you know, this is a really great time to transition.
Yes,
into,
I just real quick wanted to finish hockey with some of the big names that pop up on the CHA upcoming over the next few weekends.
Okay.
Saturday the 4th, and I think it's a – oh, no, it is just one game. Number 2 Boston College plays at Syracuse. And then Friday – and Saturday, the 10th and the 11th, number 6 Minnesota goes to Mercyhurst. So I think those three games will be the biggest tellers of where our conference is. Because I think if – I mean, I don't expect Syracuse to beat Boston College. But if they hang with them and we come in and obliterate Syracuse, which, again, I don't really know if that's going to happen.
I don't feel like it's going to happen.
But I think it – them having a good game – either, and Mercyhurst included with Minnesota. I think either of them having a good game and us going in and beating them just makes our case even better.
Yeah.
So, men's basketball.
Yeah, so leading into men's basketball, because we started to talk about, you know, the potential moving conferences and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Men's basketball, you know, arguably going through some of its toughest times in terms of really being a victim of the transfer culture.
Mm-hmm.
Goes into this season with two strong exhibition wins, a 63-60 win over Niagara.
73-70.
Oh, I apologize. 73-70 win. And what was the score against St. Vincent? Just
78-61. Sorry, Mom, your alma mater sucks at basketball.
78-61. Sorry, St. Vincent, but you do get to host the Steelers training camp. But yeah, going into that, very strong performances. Malik Petaway and Maddie McConnell looked very strong. Maddie McConnell with 27 in one and 24 in the other. Really strong play. So in terms of expectations, the team was projected to finish 7th in the NEC, according to the preseason poll. But with two strong finishes, is there a potential for upwards?
I mean, I think there's always potential for upwards. The biggest thing this year is the fact that there's, what, 10 new guys?
11.
11, even better.
Yeah, so the interesting thing is that there's four returning players, which are Deshaun Burke, Maddie McConnell, David Cole, and Seth Rouse.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Seth. And Seth, in an interview with Coach Tool, is a guy that, as a walk-on, might I add, is actually expected to contribute this year for the first time in his career, the junior. And he's a really great story, a guy
junior
who
out of
came
Hamilton
in
Hall.
Really, really grinded to get to where he was. And, yes, he lived in on the same floor as Will freshman year.
Yeah, I think he might still be in the honors
he's
program.
He's still in the honors program.
Yeah.
So a guy who's, you know, academically intelligent, but also very skilled athletically.
And just getting to know him through living on the same floor, he has worked incredibly hard to get here.
And yeah. He's a really great guy,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, he's stand-up, class act. I'm very excited that you said that, because I've wanted, since I found out he was walking onto the team, I've wanted to watch him play basketball.
Yeah.
So
he got a couple spurts in there at the end of the year last year.
He had 3 minutes last year.
I mean, he played a bit.
Couple spurts. That's
I would say one spurt.
If a minute is a spurt, then yes, he had three spurts.
Yeah. So, but you know what? Watch out.
You know the band's gonna go wild when Seth Ross
loves
it
now. I love
yeah.
Seth.
So again, some guys that may not have contributed last year. David Cole, another guy he redshirted last year, dropped 60 pounds in the off season. He's in basketball shape. These guys are looking like they're really going well. Playing well together. Maddie McConnell talked about his chemistry with freshman John Williams on the court. He's like, he was surprised at how fast the chemistry picked up. And
good.
You can kind of see that in the way that both John Williams and Maddie McConnell are playing together, both players in double digits against St. Vincent last night. And it plays into Coach Tool's style, because they don't have a ton of big guys that are going to contribute. Ronnie Gombe, big guy, transfer from Canisius, from Kenya.
He played in St. Vincent, I think.
Yeah, he did.
Pretty
he's
good.
He played
eight.
At the end. They don't expect a ton of contributions from Ronnie. He's just kind of a presence to have, because he's 6'8".
Mm-hmm.
But it plays into a Coach Tool team, which Coach Tool doesn't really play with the size. He comes in and he likes the small guys who can move and pass the ball, and they shoot from the outside.
And one thing I've always wanted to see, and I've said it on this show and I'll say it again, is I would like to see some offensive rebounds this year. I don't think it's very much to ask. Like, if
you would think.
You look, and like, it's kind of like they take a shot and you watch the ball, and you kind of, if you glance off of the ball for a second, you'll see all of them are already going down the court. And it's like, what if it doesn't go in? Go get it. So that's been something that's very frustrating to me over the past 2 years, is offensive rebounds.
And you know what's exciting, though, is the fact that with 11 new players, there's such an intense competition that they're going to have to do those little plays to get playing time, because there's no one who's really earned that time.
With the exception of Maddie McConnell, like, who is in – he's a senior?
Junior.
Junior this year.
Yeah.
Wow. Even more so then.
Yeah.
Like, you have a leader who
has 2 years left.
Is gonna be here for not only the foundation, but the sophomore year of a lot of these guys here at Robert Morris.
Now, you were talking about, are we in an upward swing? I think we are, but I think this next game is going to be very telling. They're not as good as they have been in the past, but they're still going to play Ohio State.
And just letting you know that Sam Anthony will be there live covering the game. So follow me on Twitter at @Century_Anthony. I will be live tweeting the game. I'll be sending you some photo and video content too. It's my Century Twitter account. Update with all the Century news. You should definitely toss me a follow. I live tweet all of the football games. But yeah, on that note,
I definitely need your live updates from
when you're on the sideline watching. I know.
Yeah.
But you know what? You can also listen to my very interesting take on plays, especially the one where they lost 28 yards on a play. But again, I digress. Unfortunately, we are out of time here on Will, Sam, and Sam in the Morning. This has been fun. I enjoyed this show. This was it's a wild ride, guys. It's always been a wild ride.
We have two sports this weekend. We have women's volleyball on Friday and also men's hockey Friday and Saturday.
I think you got to be excited. This is the prime weekend for sports here. Playoffs are coming around, and then the winter sports season is starting.
Big news today. I mean, JGI got traded to the
Philadelphia
Eagles.
Are getting better. 7-1.
And the GOAT is all his outside stuff aside. The GOAT is returning to golf once again. Tiger Woods back for the Hero World Championship.
What?
He is back, folks.
Hey, you want to hear? He's irrelevant, but that's all I'm going to say.
Oh, money. That's why.
Yeah.
Sorry.
The GOAT is back.
So on that note, the GOAT is back.
We'll talk about that more on Thursday.
Oh, we will.
Golf is going to be huge.
Yeah. So on that note, this is Sam Anthony signing off.
This is Sam Ferentz Actuary signing off. Go Colonials. Love you, Mom.
Love you, Mrs. Ferentz.
And this is Will Camilleri signing off. Fly, Eagles, fly. Let's go sports.
And I'm going to let Gavin take you away. This is Medicate the Kids.
Oh.
Here we go.